Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor and to give us power to build his kingdom. When you walk in the Spirit, you access the intelligence, the heart, and the will of God.
This is what the children of Israel had. This is what Adam and Eve had before they sinned. Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they walked with God. They talked with God. They had a relationship with God. But when they sinned, it changed everything. And they did not have that oneness and access to God. See, let me say this to you. Really, God really doesn't want me standing here. He said he would rather talk to you himself.
Yeah.
He would rather his people have a relationship with him themselves. Well, why then does he have ministers? Why does he have teachers? Why does he have evangelists? Why does he have prophets? He said, because when you first get saved, you are yet carnal in your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how to tap in to what you stepped in. Glory be to God. Come on now. Because see, the moment you got saved, you entered the kingdom of God. But the fact that you got saved, you don't understand how to operate in this new place. And unfortunately, we have thousands upon thousands of believers who have never learned how to tap in to what they stepped into. And so it's like God gave me this example. It's like if someone gave you a 100-room mansion. And they said, and it has 25 bathrooms, and it's a beautiful place. And they said, you have access to the whole mansion, but you live in the broom closet.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep in the broom closet.
Mm-hmm.
You eat out the broom closet. You do everything in the broom closet. And then someone comes along, the person who gave you the room, said, wait a minute, I told you, you've got access to the whole mansion.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got access to every bathroom in here. You've got access to the pool and the jacuzzi. You've got access to the sauna. You've got access to to everything. But you said, but I'm going to stay in the broom closet. But you're in the house. You are just as much as in the house as if you were using all of it, but you choose not to go any further than the broom closet. And you say, now that doesn't make sense, because if somebody gave me a 100-room mansion, I'd make sure I'd use a few of those rooms. But God says the reason why you're not going to those rooms is because you don't understand what you have available to you.
Come on now.
And see, when you begin to tap into the holies of holies, when anybody that goes into the holies of holies, you never come back the way you came out.
Amen.
Moses entered the holies of holies. When he went up on the mountaintop with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and he had fasted, and Moses was up there with God. And he said when Moses came out, he said the glory of the Lord was shown upon him so much until he had to veil his face, because the people could not stand to look at Moses, because Moses had been with God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Moses had been with God. And see, that's the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, you had just certain people that got the privilege to get into that place.
Yeah.
And you had to be selected. Mm-hmm. You had to be handpicked to go in there. And then you had to go through some preparation to be able to even access it. And if you went in there and you weren't clean, and if you didn't have yourself together, you died in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how powerful the presence of God is. But I thank God tonight. I'm excited that we have available to us the presence, that we can access the holies of holies.
Yes.
And yet many believers have never stepped in. They've never ever accessed it. Why? Because they don't know how to get in. and they don't know, understand what's available. Well, tonight, you're in a good place. Because I'm going to teach you two things tonight. I'm going to teach you about the holies of holies and what it's about. And then I'm going to tell you how to access.
All right.
Come on now. If you've never been in there, I'm going to tell you tonight how to get your pen, get your paper. Amen. Because if you want to go in, I'm going to show you how to get in.
Wow.
And it's really not that difficult.
Amen.
It's really not that deep. You don't need to fast 40 days and 40 nights to get there. Come on now. Come on. You don't have to, you know, go to a great revival and you don't have to get oil. Somebody put some oil on you. And you ain't got to get somebody to lay hands on you to get you in. Because, see, this is not through man. Man doesn't get you in.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's by faith that you get in. My God.
Amen.
Now, first of all, before we talk about this holies of holies, first of all, you need to understand your God. See, if you don't really understand who God is, and most people say, well, I know who God is. Uh-huh. Most believers say, I know, Joyce, I know who God is. No, if you really knew who God was, you would be running to the holies of holies. If you really knew who God was, if you really understood who God was. Now listen to this. All, I'm going to start out explaining to you who this God is. God may be described in terms of attributes. Now, attribute is a characteristic of a person or being. Now, God has some attributes. He has a characteristics that you need to be aware of. Because once you understand his characteristics and his attributes, it will make you want to run into the holies of holies. God is a spirit. Let's start right there.
Yeah.
God is a spirit. And so God says, when you're going to access the holies of holies, he said, understand no flesh can dwell in my presence.
Amen.
So if you're trying to access me in your flesh, you'll never get in. God is changeless. God is powerful. Now, some people say, well, I know God is powerful. No, do you really know how powerful God is? God is powerful. He's all power. He's all power. And you would think that because we understand, if we really understood how powerful God is, your prayer life would change. If you really believe how powerful God is, you would never guess if he can handle your problems. Come on. If you believe that he is powerful as he says he is, no situation would just, it would not shake you. You would not be nervous. You would not be upset because you know you got the backing of a powerful God.
Amen.
God is all knowing. That means God knows everything. About everything.
Amen.
God is everywhere. Let me show you how powerful he is. God is so everywhere that you can have people praying in China and Russia and other countries all over the world and Mexico at the same time. God, 1 million people can be praying to God, and God never have to ask you to repeat yourself. Does God ever ask you to repeat yourself because some more people were talking to him? How many of you, if two people try to talk to you, you say, hold on, I can't listen to but one of y'all, I'm going to miss something. But God said, I can listen to 1 million of y'all, and I don't ever have to ask you to repeat yourself. I know what you said. I know when you said it. I know how much you said. He said, I even know what you didn't say. I know what you left out. Come on. I know you told me what you thought I wanted to hear. I also know that your prayer was based on your selfishness. Come on now. I know that your prayer was not based on my scripture. Come on. He said, I know everything. I know that many times when you talk to me, you're coming out of what you want. You really don't care what I want. Amen. Praise God. You're really not concerned what I want. You saying, thy will be done, Lord. He said, but I know you didn't mean it. Come on now. I know you didn't want my will. What you said was what you thought I wanted to hear, but you never wanted my will. What you wanted was me to do your will, and you threw that in for good measure. He said, I know everything. And he said, and I'm everywhere. God said, I'm eternal. He is eternal. God is holy. And I'm going to talk about holy in a minute, because we use that word lightly. But if you understood what holy really means, God is righteous. God is love. God is truth. If you want the truth, talk to God. See, some of you keep going to people and say, now tell me the truth.
Yeah.
But they keep lying to you.
Oh, right.
But then you go back again, you try to get them again, you try them again. You say, now, would you please tell me the truth this time? God said, but I tell the truth all the time, because I am truth. That's all I am. He said, I'll never lie to you. I'll never pretend with you. He said, all I am is truth.
Yeah.
My God. And God said, and he, God is wisdom. God said, you need some wisdom? He said, ask me. Because he said, I'm wisdom is all of who I am. It's not what I have, it's who I am. God said, I'm wisdom. Anybody that needs some wisdom, God said, you ought to be talking to me. Not your relative.
Right.
Come on, not your next door neighbor.
That's
not
right.
Your friend. God said, if you want real wisdom, he said, talk to me, because I am wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
See, a believer's understanding of God will finally be complete in eternity when you stand face to face to God.
Yeah.
See, you will never know everything about God.
Right.
You will never understand everything about God.
Yeah.
Every time you think you got it figured out, God will come from a whole nother direction. How many of you thought that you had it figured out? How many thought you pretty much, you said, you know, okay, now I got it now. You know, I got this thing. This is how God works. God said, no. See, when you think I'm coming from the right, left, I'm going to come from the right. He said, because you will never figure me out. He said, no, because you don't ever know what I'm doing. He said, because I'm moving in ways and I'm doing things that you never know what I'm doing. He said, so you know what? He said, so you'll really never know me in completeness until you get to glory.
Yes.
All right.
But you can know him enough down here. Until heaven will just be great. Come on now. You can know God in a way, I tell you. And we try to get to know people, but God said, you need to get to know me.
My God.
Look at this. Although the full revelation of God was in Jesus Christ, the human mind cannot fully understand God.
No, it cannot.
One reason is the limitation of the human mind. Your peanut brain. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how long you've been around. I don't even care how, you know, informed you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. God said your little human brain is not able to contain me. I'm just too big for that. But he said, do the best you can. But you'll never be able to contain me because I'm too big. How can man's finite mind understand the infinity of God? It is not possible. Although we cannot fully understand God, we can still know him. We know him through a personal relationship of faith and through the study of what the Bible teaches about his nature. This is why many believers don't know God, because they're not reading the Bible. God says, people, the Bible is about me.
Yes,
it's about God.
Yes.
How can you tell me you want to know me, but you don't ever have time to read the Bible, and you may pick it up and take it to church with you on Sunday? But he said, if you want to get to know me, get in my word. Get in there and begin to read about me. He said, my character, who I am, he says, all in the book. Come on now. He said, I didn't leave it. He said, I didn't try to hide it. He said, it ain't no big secret. You know, I used to hear people act like, you know, God, they be pleading with God. God, show us your will. God, we want to know your will. How many of y'all heard people pray like that? How many of y'all been praying like that? God, we just want to know you. And God, and we're pleading with him, and we're crying, and we're snotting, and we're all of that. And God said, you know, and I used to think, you know, okay, if you get holy enough, you know, God is trying to keep it a big secret. And if you just get deep enough, then God will give you some deepness. God said, why would I try to hide from you what I put out there in my book? He said, if you would read the book, you're all this asking me what my will is and asking me what to do. God said, a lot of them prayers that you pray, he said they would not be necessary. You know, people say, well, God, I got to pray about God's will. God said, my will is my word, and my word is my will. So when you get full of my word, he said, my word through the Holy Spirit will come up in you, and he'll begin to teach you, and he'll begin to speak to you, and scriptures will come up in you at the opportune time. He said, because you're full of who I am.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Yeah. But listen to this. Let's talk about this word, holy.
Holy.
What does holy mean? Because often you have many believers that say, I know God said, be holy as I'm holy. But they said, I can't live a holy life. But God said, if I told you to be holy, come on now, evidently I gave you the capacity through my spirit to be holy. Come on now. We don't want to talk about holy. And he said, I'm just barely trying to be saved, Joyce. Now you want to get on down the hole. Come on. I'm just hanging on by a thread to be saved. I'm just trying not to backslide. Now you talking about hit holy? But God said, he said, see, if you would get holy, then you wouldn't be hanging on by a thread. Come on now. He said, the reason you barely holding on and trying to do everything to keep from backsliding, because you ain't holy. See, sin is no more. I remember there was a time I struggled not to sin. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. But now I struggle to sin. Come on now. Sin is not, it's unnatural to me. It's just foreign to me. And when sin comes to me, and my spirit just said, it's just like, not me. And everything in me does not want to deal with it. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm walking in holiness.
Come on, preach.
Holy. What does the word holy mean?
Preach.
Moral and ethical wholeness or perfection. Let me say that again. Moral and ethical wholeness or perfection. What else does holy mean? Freedom from moral evil.
That's number one.
Come on. That's right. Freedom from moral evil. Holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature. Holiness may also be rendered sanctification or godliness. What did I say? Sanctification or godliness. We made sanctification out of a religion. Some people said, I go to a sanctified church.
Yeah.
Well, everybody in the church ought to be sanctified. Because the whole body of Christ, he said, sanctification is not a denomination, it's a requirement of holiness. The word holy denotes that which is sanctified or set apart for divine service. That's what sanctified means. It means that you have been set aside for divine service. That's all it means. If you are sanctified, that means I'm set apart for divine service. I'm set apart for the work of God. I'm set apart for the will of God. My life is no longer mine. My life is no longer about me. My life is no longer about what I want. But I'm set apart for divine service. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen to this. Jesus' death on the cross restored the relationship we had with God in the garden. I said that earlier. But listen, within the holy place. Now I'm going to explain to you some things about the holy place. Within the holy place of the tabernacle, there was an inner room called the Holies of Holies, or the Most Holy Place.
Yeah.
Now, you had the outer court.
Yes.
You had the inner court. And then you had the Holies of Holies.
Yes.
And so anybody, as I said it before, could not just go in the Holies of Holies.
No.
The outer court, you might could be there. You could be there. The inner court, you might get in. But when you hit Holies of Holies, you just didn't walk up in the Holies of Holies in your kind of way. Because you knew when you stepped into the Holies of Holies, you are in the presence, the raw presence of God. My God, you are face to face with the Lord. Come on now. Come on. It was a most sacred room. What kind of room was it?
Sacred.
A place no ordinary person could enter. It was God's special dwelling place in the midst of his people. In the holies of holies, where it was where God was. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now listen to this. The word veil in Hebrew means a screen. Divider or separator that hides. Now, in the holies of holies, they had a curtain. And the curtain, they said it was so big, it was so thick, it was so wide, when it was time for the curtain to be torn, no human hands could tear it. Because it veiled, it was a screen, it was a divider, it separated something. What was the curtain hiding? What was it hiding? Essentially, it was shielding a holy God from sinful man. That's what the curtain was doing. God said, I'm too holy to look upon sin. He said, I'm so holy, sin cannot dwell in my presence. And that's why when men came in, or the priest who was designated, he had to go through cleansing and purification for a whole week. He had to wash, he had to do all kinds of things. Because when he stepped in the presence, if he was dirty, if he was unclean, he would die on the spot. See, God's holiness is so powerful. Come on now. And that's why folk are not running. Come on now. They're not running for the presence. Because, see, you can't hang out with the devil. Come on, can I go there? You can't hang out with the devil. You can't party with the devil. Come on now. You can't be drinking and drugging with the devil and think you're just going to go on up into the holies of holies. God said, I'm just too holy. I'm too holy. He said, so there's some things that you have to do to prepare yourself for my holiness. He said, I'm too holy for that. You just can't live any old kind of life. You just can't think about any old thing. You just can't watch all kind of things on TV. Can I go there? He said, you just can't feast your mind on all kind of dirty movies. Can I go there? You can't. Come on, you can't be talking about you are saved, but you're watching pornography. Come on, you can't do. God said, no, see, you will never be ready to go into my presence if you're not ready to lay down your sin. Come on now, you won't do it. He said, you can't do it. He said, because I'm too holy. I'm too holy for you to just walk up in here and just live on any old kind of life every day, cussing folk out and calling yourself a Christian. Come on. He said, I'm too holy for that. He said, no, you get mad and you flip and you're tripping and you go off on people and you call people names. And you got an attitude and you got an angry spirit. You got a just negative attitude. You're just an ugly attitude. He said, you know, he said, no. See, people that come into the holies of holies, he said, when you begin to come into the holies of holies after you do what I tell you, he said, oh, that's going to burn off. Come on now. He said, I'm going to burn it off for you. He said, but now you can't be trying to enter my presence, but then you over playing with the devil 7 days a week, or you playing with the devil in the morning and trying to enter my presence in the afternoon. He said, no, what you need to do is make up your mind who you're going to live for. Jesus, you got to make up your mind who you're going to serve. Don't try to enter my presence and you ain't sure which way you want to go. You're not sure which God are you serving. You're not sure if you want to let stuff go that I told you to let go. He said, if you still trying to decide if you want to hang on to your stuff, he said, you will never, ever get into the holies of holies. He said, because you got to be willing to lay it down. You got to lay it down. You got to lay down everything that's not like God. Come on. Everything is not like God. Listen to this. Whoever entered the holies of holies was entering the very presence of God. In fact, anyone except the high priest who entered the holies of holies would die. The picture of the veil was that of a barrier between man and God, showing man that the holiness of God could not be trifled with. See, we're living in a world now, you can live like the devil. You can live any old kind of life. And you know, I say, well, you know, God understands. You know, God know I'm human. God said, do I know you human? I made you. Of course I know you human. He said, but you being human has no determination on whether you get into the holies of holies. Because if it was based on you, you never get in. He said, I didn't base you getting in the holies of holies on whether you human or whether you are just dust. And you just, he said, I didn't base it on that. Listen to this. God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. And he cannot tolerate sin. He said his eyes are what?
They're too pure.
And I could feel some of you out there, I hear you thinking. You said, how you do that? I'll pick you up in the spirit. He said, well now, wait a minute, Joyce. You know, at the rate we're going right now, I ain't gonna ever get in. Okay, because at the rate you're going, you know, I don't know if I'm going to ever make this holy as holy. Maybe I should just leave class now. Because at the rate, right now, I'm not measuring up too good. I don't know if I'm going to ever get in. Don't get nervous. Hold on. Amen. I'll tell you how to get in. Praise God. Listen, the veil was a barrier to make sure that man, listen to this, could not carelessly and irreverently enter into God's awesome presence. Now I need to read that again. The veil was a barrier to make sure that man could not what? Carelessly and irreverently enter into God's awesome presence. That's why when you have people and they refer to God, you know, the man upstairs, you know, me and God got it like that. Oh, you don't know who God is. Oh, you don't know the holiness of God. Now, I know God still loves them and they're yet ignorant. But see, when you don't really know God, you speak of him very lightly. You know, you can talk any old kind of way and think, you know, I can, you know, oh, just, oh, you know, me and God got it like that. No, you and God ain't got it like nothing. God says, I'm holy. And you don't irreverently and just any old kind of way just come to me. And carelessly do it. He said, doesn't work. The presence of God remains shielded from man behind a thick curtain during the history of Israel. However, Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross changed that. I got a big grin on my face. Because, see, I understand where I'm going right now. See, the fact that Jesus died on the cross. Listen to what happened when he died. See, some of y'all have read this and you just read it. I don't know. You don't even know what you have read. You know, you've heard it preached, but you just read it. I don't know, but you just, you know, all that's so nice. That's so nice. But listen to this. When Jesus died, the curtain in the Jerusalem temple was torn in half from the top to the bottom. God said, I tore it. When Jesus gave up the ghost, and when Jesus died, and he gave it up, and he died for our sins. See, let me tell you something. I told some of y'all this before that's been in the class. See, you didn't have to wait till Jesus went in the grave. The minute Jesus died, God said, I tore the curtain. Come on now, I tore it. But see, the reason Jesus had to go in the grave and get up, because he had some business to do down there with the devil. Come on now. He said, I'm not going to just let y'all, I'm going to open this curtain. He said, now if Jesus don't go down there and get the keys, and if you don't have the keys to know how to hold what you got, I open the curtain and you can't even get in. Come on now. So Jesus said, he went down there and he got the keys from the devil. He said, he took the keys from Satan. And he said, now, not only did I take the keys, he said, I gave y'all the keys. Come on. He said, I gave you the keys. Come on. I gave you the keys. Over death, hell, and the grave. Now, what did he give you keys to? Death, hell, and the grave. He said, I gave you keys over all of that right there. Death, hell, and the grave. He said, so therefore, you are now in a different place because of what Jesus did. Jesus said, God said, I tore the curtain. And I said, Jesus, go on now, get the keys. Because Adam and Eve had the keys over in the garden. Now go back and get my keys because they had them and they gave them away. Now go get the keys and bring them back because my children who accept me, they will receive the keys. Come on now.
We invite you to join us as we study God's Word, grow in your spiritual walk, and learn about the power and benefits of walking in the Spirit every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. For more information, visit our website at joycelesterministries.org. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In every situation, when you ask the question, "Holy Spirit, what should I do?" and obey his leading, you will mistake-proof your life.